in the Word of God on an area every believer needs to understand, and every believer needs to know how to walk in. And I want to talk about calling on the name of the Lord. You can follow through in your notes there, and I'll walk off on some tangents here, but we'll kind of follow along. To call on the Lord, to call on God or on the Lord, is a very frequent, a very common expression in the Bible. It occurs 56 times in the Old and New Testaments. 31 of those times are given in a kind of command form. Okay? So the others talk about calling on the Lord, but there are 31 times the Bible actually says, call on the Lord. So this is an exhortation, an instruction from God. Now I want to say to you, there's nothing that God instructs us to do that doesn't have some very, very useful benefit or powerful effect on our lives. They're actually tools in God's relational toolbox that enable us to capture God and be captured by Him. Okay? And this happens to be one of those tools. Now, just a little thing about names, okay? In our culture, often names are merely sentimentally chosen because we like the sound or the spelling of the name. We name our children. Sometimes it's, man, I just like that name. We go through the list of names. Man, that sounds good. That first name sounds good with the last name. But in the Bible, God does things a little bit differently. And names in the Scripture have great significance. In fact, if all you wanted to do for a year, it would be a worthy study for you to just go through the entire Bible, looking up the words and going and studying the Hebrew and the Greek meanings of those words, and then looking at the lives of the individuals who had those names. They're very profound, very revealing. Okay? But names were given to people in the Bible as a reflection of the character of their lives and the mission anticipated by their lives. So in other words, God, in the divine providence of God, parents, either simply by the inspiration of God or by direct choice, named people the prophetic anticipation of what God wanted to do in their lives. That's powerful. Now, I want to tell you something. We did that with both of our kids, and I'll just tell you about Ruth. When Ruth was born, my wife and I really strongly felt that we should name her Ruth, because Ruth means friend. And Ruth has fulfilled her prophetic name in a huge, huge way. I don't have time to go into all the details with Leah and all that and the circumstances as to why we named her what we named her. But there was something in our hearts when we named our kids that we anticipated God doing something in and through them, through the choice of their names. This is how God uses names in the Scripture. In the Scripture, God uses the name as being equivalent to whoever bore that name. So the name is equivalent to the actual person in the Bible. This is very important. The name represents the person himself or herself. It represents the person's attributes and qualities. The person equaled the name, and the name equaled the person. You follow me here? Okay? That's how God uses names in the Bible. So when you're reading through and you come across someone's name, There's more going on. And God renamed people in the Bible to alter the course of their lives. It's amazing. God himself actually gave people a different name that spoke of a turning point in their lives where the direction of their lives would begin to move in the prophetic direction that God had, the purposes that God had for their lives. This is why the name of the Lord cannot be used like a magical formula. Okay? The seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19, they were priests of a false god. They watched the apostles and the disciples using the name of Jesus and healing people. Okay? If I can use the term invoking the name of Jesus and people being healed. They wanted the power. They wanted to be able to do what the disciples and the apostles did. And so they attempted to cast out a demon out of somebody by using the name of Jesus like a talisman or like an amulet. Not an omelet, but an amulet. Okay? They used it in a mystical, almost witchcrafty kind of way, thinking that the power was in the words. Now, there are whole religions that are based around this concept, the sounds of words. In Hinduism, one of the forms of meditation in Hinduism, it's in Buddhism as well, and in other kinds of Eastern religions, there is a belief that a certain presence operates within the sound of a word. And so the simplest one that almost everyone knows is the sound Om. Om. And you repeat the sound. The purpose in repeating the sound is to empty your mind so that you can enter into a transcendental experience and so on and so forth. But the belief is that the power is in the sound. Okay? And tied to that are visual images. Now, I know this is a rabbit trail. Okay? But tied to that are visual images that represent the sounds. And when you say the sound and you meditate on the visual image, you will reach a certain level of transcendence. Okay? All of it is based on the belief that tonal sounds have the power in them. Okay? Now, that's kind of what these guys were doing with the name of Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know who Jesus was. They had no relationship with Jesus. Jesus wasn't living inside them. There was no connection between them and Jesus, but they watched the apostles and the disciples cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And so they used the name of Jesus probably the same way they would invoke some other god. And some other god. What happened was, the demon said to these seven priests, Paul I know, one of the guys who was casting out demons, Jesus I know, but who are you? And then the demon attacked the guys and sent them running. Okay? Now I want to say this to you because, to be honest with you, as Christians, we can sometimes treat the name of Jesus in the same kind of way. If I only just say the name of Jesus, everything is going to, work out right. Or if I only use a certain order of words and end it with "in Jesus' name." So the prayer has to be ended with the exact words "in Jesus' name." Like it's a formula. Okay? Now please hear me, guys. That's not the way the Bible teaches us to pray. But we can be very religious. And even in churches like ours, we can follow traditional forms that aren't in the Bible. And that's why it's important that we understand what it actually means to pray in Jesus' name and to call upon the name of the Lord. We can do things ritualistically, okay? Now I'm going to pick on something here, okay? Jesus said that there are religious people who think that God will hear them simply by repeating the prayer over and over and over. I'm paraphrasing what Jesus said. Okay? If you just repeat the word over and over and over and over again, repeat the prayer over and over and over again. Now, there are religions, whole world religions, that do this. Okay? And I know I'm mentioning some of these other religions, but in Buddhism, particularly Tibetan Buddhism, that you have the prayer wheels. And the prayer wheel, basically, every time you rotate the prayer wheel, is another prayer. And so you have thousands upon thousands and millions of people who are bound into a religious system of repetitious prayer, over and over and over, because they believe that the more times they repeat it, the more powerful it is. Jesus said, that's foolish. Okay? He says that doesn't work. Now, there are Christian religions that also do the same thing. Okay? With every bead, you repeat a prayer. And you go to the next bead, you repeat the same prayer. You go to the next bead, you repeat that same prayer over and over again. And the belief is that the effectiveness of the prayer is increased by the repetition. Jesus said, and he actually said it. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees think that their prayer will be more effective if they repeat the prayer. Now, this is the Son of God speaking in the Scripture, telling us that doesn't make a difference. Okay? Some people, now, let me just say, there is such a thing as praying continually. But praying continually is not a religious repetition. Praying continually is living your life in a continual communion with Jesus Christ, like a friend. Now, Katie is my friend. How do you think our friendship would go if I sat down beside Katie and we had a conversation and I repeated the same thing over and over and over and over? And I said exactly the same thing. And every time I talked to her in a conversation, I would just say the same thing over and over and over. Okay? There's not exactly much relationship that's going to be developed through that kind of communication. Why do we think that it works that way with God? Okay? It doesn't work that way with God. We can talk to God in exactly the same way that we would talk to a friend. He's a real person. You know, we are created in His image. He has infinitely many of the attributes that we have. You know, God is a spirit. We are a spirit. Our spirit can communicate with God. God is word. He speaks. We speak words. And the living word, Jesus, can speak to us and penetrate our hearts and work inside of us by speaking to us. Okay? And we can communicate with Him. And this is what God's looking for. Now, let me just say to you, the prayer, the Our Father prayer. Okay? The disciples come to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray. So Jesus said, this is how you pray. And then he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Almost everybody in this room can repeat the whole prayer. But I want to say to you today, Jesus did not say, when you pray, repeat this prayer over and over and over again. What he was teaching them was that each of the components of this prayer are an aspect of how you approach God. You see? It begins with Our Father. It begins with relationship. It begins with connection. I'm not approaching somebody who's far out. Okay? I'm not approaching God the way a deist would approach God. The belief that in deism is that God has created the universe and then left. And He has nothing to do with our lives, our everyday lives. And the best that you can hope for is to somehow try and alter your fate on earth. But God isn't really that interested in you. You know? You're the one that ultimately controls the destiny of your life. That's deism. By the way, some of the writers... the fathers of independence in the United States, some of them were Christians, some of them were deists. Some of you know Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was a deist. He wasn't a Christian. He was a deist. So, and some of those philosophies and beliefs have actually been passed on. There are people who think that way, and they respond to God that way. But Jesus said, listen, I want you to know who you're talking to when you're talking to God. You're talking to your Father. Our Father. You see? And every time you come to your Father, you don't start the conversation with your Father. Our Father. Here's Stephanie over here. And here's her dad sitting over here, Tim. Can you imagine if Stephanie came to Tim, and every time she approached Tim, she started the conversation with, our Father. Okay? Do you see? I mean, God is infinite intelligence. And he is infinitely personable. Infinitely relational. That's why he made us the way we are to have relationship. The Our Father is a truth that penetrates our being as a revelation of the kind of relationship we have with this God that we're talking to. Okay? Who art in heaven. What's that? That's the transcendence of God. He is eminent, our Father, but he's also transcendent. He is infinite. He is infinitely powerful. Hallowed be thy name. He's a holy God. We're approaching a holy God. And so, you know, it isn't every time you approach him, you say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, that's worship. That's the honor. That's what we do. The word worship in the Greek is the word proskuneo, which means to bow or to prostrate ourselves. Worship is bowing our lives. Now you hear me when I lead you guys, when I lead sometimes, I will often say to you, let's yield ourselves to the Lord. What am I saying? I'm saying let's worship. Let's yield. Let's bow. Let's you know, surrender. Let's open ourselves. What we're doing is we are bowing our lives. We're prostrating ourselves. We are proskuneo. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a statement of who God is. He's sovereign. You know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the sovereignty of God. I'm connecting with his will. I'm saying, yes, God, your will be done in my heart. Well, we pray that all the time, in everyday circumstances. You know, we call upon God and we say, God, I prayed it today. We prayed for Mark. And when we prayed for Mark, one of the things I said, Father, let your hand be upon him for good. Lord, we invite you into this situation. What are we saying? We're saying, your will be done. But we didn't say it, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You could say it that way. But the repetition of that statement has no particular power in it. It's the revelation. Are you following me, guys? Okay? And so calling on the name of the Lord, it isn't ritualistic. This is our Father. This is someone who we are intimately acquainted with. Now you see why eight pages of notes it just ain't going to happen. Okay? So, these guys couldn't pray in Jesus' name. The demons attacked them. Let's go to page 2, and I'll just dive into that for a minute. So Jesus says to his disciples, whatever you ask in my name shall be done. Whatever you ask in my name. Now remember, the name is not a talisman. It's not a formula. It's not a religious ritual. The name is a person. And the person cannot be separated from the name. The name cannot be separated from the person. That's the reality. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this. I'm going way ahead in my notes, but I'll give you an example of this. Listen to this amazing statement about baptism. Okay? Romans chapter 6 describes baptism as being baptized into the person. When a person is, you know, baptism is only a physical outside It's a declaration of our faith in God. It's a visual expression of what we believe. Okay, but physical baptism in water is only a picture of the real baptism. What's the real baptism? What's the real thing that baptism is only an outside picture of? The real baptism happened when you were put into the person of Jesus Christ. That's where the Bible says this. It says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We are baptized, and this is Bible terminology, into the name. We're baptized into the name. What does that mean? We're baptized into the person of Jesus Christ. We have been put in Christ. That's why if you read through the New Testament, you come across dozens of passages of scriptures. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You are now in Christ over and over again. What is that? That's not a theory. That's the actual experience of the person who has come into relationship with Jesus Christ. They are in Christ. One passage puts it this way. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where I am. You see, so when Jesus says, I want you to pray in my name, whatever you ask in my name, he's saying, whatever you ask in my person. Okay? Now this is abstract. Are you with me? I'm going to get you guys to think a little bit here. Okay? Whatever you ask in my person. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's not my will be done on earth as it is on earth. Okay? It's not my will be done. In actual fact, Jesus, as a man, prayed as he went to the cross, and this is demonstrating that he was 100% human and 100% God. He said, as he went to the cross, he used these words, not my will, but thine be done. Okay, now that's God on earth in a human body as a man saying, not my will, but thine be done. Okay, that is the continual mode of our lives. Okay, not my will, thine be done. Jesus, not my will, not my will. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, what do you want? What do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? What's your will? What's your plan for me in this situation? What am I doing? I'm surrendering not to someone out there. I'm surrendering to the one who has come and taken up residence right here inside me and has joined himself to my spirit, and I am surrendering to his heart, his will, his purpose. And so when I begin to pray this way, I am exiting and Jesus is entering. I am decreasing and he is increasing. And ultimately, he says, whatsoever you ask, this is another passage, whatever you ask according to my will be done. Now let me tell you, God answers prayer. But do you know whose prayer God answers? He answers Jesus' prayer. Prayed through you. We need to get this, guys. He answers Jesus' prayer. Prayed through you. James talked about this. He says you have not because you ask not. Some people don't have because they don't ask. But then he says, also, you pray according to your lusts, according to your human desires. He says, you have not because you ask amiss. That's the King James language for it. What do you mean ask? You're missing the mark. The mark is not what you desire. The mark is what Jesus desires. And God answers Jesus' prayer. So please understand what's going on here, guys. Okay? All of this tells us that the Christian life cannot be lived outside of intimate relationship with Christ. You can't walk in the name of the Lord. You can't walk in a relationship of walking, you know, calling upon the Lord without living and allowing Jesus to live in and through you. It's about intimacy. It's about connection. It's about the living God living inside of me and me joining with His will to see it accomplished in the earth. Are you with me, guys? I quit. 25 minutes and 51 seconds. Maybe we'll come back to this one. Can we pray? Is it okay if we do that? Received Christ, if you've received the finished work of Christ on the cross, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, if you've received Christ's forgiveness, if you've received the work that Jesus did in taking upon Himself your sin, all of your sin, that's what Jesus went to the cross for, that's what the Father sent Him to do, was to bear the punishment for our sins. If you've received that, and you have given your life to its rightful owner, God, and you have invited Him in, Jesus has come. And He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's not far. And He's as near as your spirit that is a brand new creation that is now Jesus and you joined together. That doesn't mean you're God. You're not God. It's a new creation. It's a human thing. But it's also a God thing. Your spirit is a brand new creation. But Jesus lives there. And He wants us to walk in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do, do it all in the name, in the person of Jesus Christ. When you pray, pray in the name. Pray in the name. Pray in the person. See? Jesus, what do you want? Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live today? What do you want me to think about these things that are assailing my mind? What do you want me to say to the storm? You want me to say, peace, be still, just like you said that. Do you want to say that through me, Jesus? Peace, be still. Do you want me, Jesus, to keep silent in the face of accusations and persecution and unjust attack? Jesus, the Bible says, as a sheep before its shearer is dumb, He opened not His mouth. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. Sometimes the act of Jesus is a non-act. Silence. And our silence speaks louder than words. Jesus, who knows your purposes for our lives in all of this? But we open ourselves
right where we are, we open ourselves to your Spirit. We open ourselves to truth. We open ourselves to your heart, to your plan. We want to walk, not just speak, not just use the name of Jesus. We want to walk in the name of Jesus. We want to be in the name of Jesus. We want the name of Jesus to be in us, alive, powerful, the person of Jesus Christ. So Lord Jesus, would you take the things that have been spoken today and stir up that kind of walk. Stir up that kind of communion. Stir up that kind of intimacy in us. Fresh, fresh intimacy with you. Thank you for that, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.